Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
My guest today, I've known for a while, a number of years, I'm thinking. I don't even keep track of it anymore. Actually, I think he was in here before. I think we might have did a show. But I know we have something in common that we'd like to do, and that is golfing. And so we've golfed together a few times and done stuff like that. And Dan is a youper like me. And he lives, I guess originates from an area called Kearney. That's where you're from, Dan?
Yes.
And that's, if you're listening to the show, I broadcast the show out of Escanaba, and Kearney is approximately 20 miles, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, 25 miles.
25 miles away from where I'm at. Actually, where I live, Dan's not that far away from me. I think he's about maybe 10 miles from where I live, something like that. So Dan told me some strange story, not strange to me, but stories about his family and things they had in the past, and I think we both kind of have an interest in those kind of things. And now, in the last year, he's been bitten by the bug. Would you say that? Bitten
by the bug? Definitely.
So he has done a lot of research, and now he has found over 350 individual stories of people who've had spirit activity, ghost activity, if you will. And it's surprising because it's a small area that you're talking about. So how are you doing, Dan?
Pretty good.
Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, no problem.
So tell me a little bit about you. You grew up in Kearney, Michigan, right?
Yeah, I was born south of Milwaukee, Racine, Wisconsin. And then my parents moved up here when I was about 6 years old. So I'm a transplant youper, but I've been here long enough that 6 years in Milwaukee don't matter.
You fit right in, don't you? And what do you like about the UP?
I like the peace and quiet, and I'm an outdoorsman. I like camping and fishing and hunting, so perfect place for me to grow up.
Could you imagine living somewhere else right now?
No, I've lived out in California, and they can have it. I prefer the UP.
You know, I'm sure there's a lot of beautiful spots, but I just love the fact that you've got a lot of wide open spaces, a lot of you can go places, and nothing against being around people, but it's just nice to have some place to yourself and be connected to nature. Mm-hmm. And then we have all these lakes, you know, the Great Lakes, the Inland Lakes, the rivers, the trees. There's a lot to take advantage of and just be out in. So you have lived in Kearney for how long, then?
Oh, well, over 40 years. I mean, I had a little stint in the Marine Corps, but other than that, I've been here the whole time.
Mm. And you have a couple of boys, right? A couple of boys?
Yep, two sons, and one's in college in Lower Michigan right now, and the other one's right here in Escanaba.
And you have a stepdaughter, did you say, as well? Or?
Yes, yeah.
So, and have you ever had, well, you've had spirit activity, right?
Oh, definitely.
When did you first experience that? When was, I know I've asked you this before, but when did you first come into that?
My first memory of it, I'm not sure if I was 4, maybe 5 years old, and we used to visit an aunt in the Wisconsin Dells area, and my mom and, I guess that would be my father's aunt, but my mom and my aunt Jenny would sit at the table and literally communicate with something upstairs by way of knocks. And the whole family would be sitting around the dining room table looking up at the ceiling, just wondering if what was going on. I mean, is this real, you know? And I have some memories of that. I don't remember the questions I asked, but they would ask questions, and it would be one knock for yes and two knocks for no. Mm. And these spirits would communicate that way. So.
Interesting. And you thought that was it normal, or was it weird stuff?
I actually addressed that in the book because you grow up with it, and it's almost, you just put up with it in a certain degree, but you live with it too, and you just accept it. And then as you get older and you start talking about it and realize people are looking at you weird, you just kind of keep it to yourself. And
I think people are becoming more open to this, though, don't you? You can talk more freely about these kind of things.
I'd agree with that.
Maybe not in a small conservative community, but different parts of the country, you know, I think people are open. And it seems like they always open up on the West Coast, and then the bigger cities on the East Coast, and then it comes to the middle part of the country where we, you know, I think it's great to have values and be conservative. That's all fine. But some things maybe you got to keep an open mind too, because there's things that go on and there's things that people witness. So about a year ago, what made you decide? First of all, let me just say this. Your mom, now I don't know how you feel about this, but she was a pretty amazing lady, right?
Yeah, she did things that pretty much why we didn't talk about it. The things she did were not of this world.
She did astral travel, right?
Yeah, she called it out-of-body experience.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And she did, like, seances, if you will, right?
She did tarot card readings and Ouija boards.
Okay. Did she ever channel anything, do you know? No?
As far as another spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to remember if I told you the last time I came in here about the automatic writing session.
Okay, so that's channeling. Yeah. All right.
Where the spirit that came across during her automatic writing sessions claimed to be Sir Isaac Newton.
Hmm.
And that was an interesting night. That was actually my last memory of anything happening with my mom. I was 16 years old. And three spirits came in that day as she was doing her automatic writing. And each one of them had something to say, something different. You know.
And how did you perceive that at 16? How were you feeling about that?
I remember, you know, being a little bit with my mouth open, sitting there at the table, wondering what was going on. I was more impressed that her eyes were shut, and she was writing in between the lines of this paper.
Really? That's pretty cool.
And then she'd get to the margin on the end and go to the next line, all while keeping her eyes shut. So you knew something. You knew it wasn't her. So
you believed it. You were a believer at that point.
Oh, definitely.
Now, did that scare you? Did you think that she was dealing with something that could be darker energy or evil or whatever you want to term it?
Yeah, because I guess the three predictions, or I guess you'd call them predictions, or the first one was more of a warning. The first spirit came across and told us to remove the paint cans. They're too close to the wood stove downstairs. And then the second spirit came in, and as this is happening, the writing's changing on the paper. It gets real, you can't read it, and then all of a sudden a new, whole different style of penmanship comes across. And the next spirit says, your dog Yeller is going to have 8 puppies. And sure enough, the Yeller had 8 puppies. And then the last spirit, this one blows me away. And this one, I'm not sure to this day if I even understand it, but it said, Danny's a good boy. And that's how I was referred to as a kid, Danny. And the spirit said, Danny's a good boy. He's going to go on to become a pastor. And that's pretty amazing. Now, I've never went into school to become a pastor, but I have been called on to preach at church when the pastor's sick. So in one hand, I guess it's kind of pastoral, you know. And for that spirit to make a prediction that took 30 years to happen, that's unusual.
Now, why do you said, but I asked you if you thought if it was something darker or evil, you felt that
that last one, I don't know. That's why I'm saying I think that last one could have been. I mean, even though it's something it's talking about is that it's a good thing, really. It's not a bad thing it's talking about. But how does it know that? You know, where does it come up with that type of prediction?
Are you asking me?
I guess I am. Yeah.
So we have potential. Those that can read those things, I think, can see our potential paths that we can take. Every life has its potential path, and it can go many, many, many different ways. Mm-hmm. So if you can tap into that, you can actually, I think, see the course of what may happen. There's no guarantees. Life does not unfold exactly because we have the free will to change it. And so let's say you came into this lifetime, which you don't probably believe in more than a lifetime, but let's say you came into this life with a goal of becoming a pastor one day. And somebody could just read that. A spirit, a being. There's a place called the Akashic Records, which holds, or maybe you've heard of it, lists everything we've done, all the things that we've learned from in previous times. And I think there's also a way you can see what is planned for a person this time around. And you can also pick up on the vibration of where they're going. And that's what my friend Debbie does, you know, when she tells people the angels are seeing this for you in the future. Now, I would say these spirits, you said one of them identified themselves?
Yeah, right? Sir Isaac Newton.
Okay. Yeah. And the other ones could have been guides or could have just been ones around you. But I don't see anything dark in that unless they said, Danny's going to eat flies or whatever.
Yeah, I guess to elaborate more on that, I guess during that time, my sister was having lots of problems sleeping in her room at night.
So she was having like visitations, you think, or what?
Yeah, they were, the spirits were yanking her blankets off the bed.
Mm.
And it got to the point where not every night, but many nights during the week, she would come into my bedroom and get me and ask me to sit by the bed because then they would go away.
Mm.
So
that's did they ever do anything bad? Just that, basically?
To my sister?
Yeah, they just pulled the blankets is what they're doing?
No, there was times when she would wake up and feel something hairy laying on her.
Hairy?
Yes. And then there's other occasions in the future where some pretty dark entities came around her when she was really struggling. And I've already talked to her about this. She doesn't mind me sharing this, but she almost killed herself one night.
Mm.
So that's where this gets interesting for me, where I try to dig into, on one hand, you have spirits making, giving us warnings about the paint cans, and then you have them doing stuff to my sister. So that's where I start questioning what's good, what's evil.
Mm.
Is it possible that this our home gets filled with all kinds of spirits? Or is it the same one tricking us at one point and doing the other things?
I don't think it is so much that. I mean, there could be those, I think, from my experience. But I think we have loved ones around us, so we could be communicating with them. We have angels around us. We have guides around us. And then there are those that haven't crossed over. And then there are the ones that crossed over. Of those, some of them could have been from a previous time, and they just haven't moved on. Some of them could have been around for thousands of years, and maybe they've gone to a little darker place. Now, when you say your sister was going through a dark time, and that's when there were darker ones, I'm of the belief that the vibration that we hold, if you hold love, you tend to draw that kind of thing around you. And if you drink, take drugs, I'm not condemning anybody for doing that, but it lowers that vibration. And if you're negative and you're depressed, if you're on medications, you open the door for the darker energies, which are on very low vibrations. I'll tell you a story as an example. A friend of mine, Dan, who's been on my show before, he was dating a woman. Now, Dan's a recovering alcoholic, and he's had a lot of dark, dark, dark things go on. But he turned his life around. And not the same Dan I'm talking to, by the way. I just thought of that. But this Dan, he had a girlfriend, and she was still an alcoholic. Now, that's got to be tough when you're an alcoholic and you're trying to recover. They're still drinking. And he said, TJ, I would be with this girl, and when she's sober, she's great. Now, we've known people like this. And when she's drinking, she turned mean and abusive.
Yeah.
And I said, well, she's probably got a darker energy around her, especially when she's drunk. It has control. And so one night when she passed out and he carried her to bed, he laid her down on the bed and he said, he looked right at her and she's passed out. And he said, dark energy, I know you're in there. You leave her alone because I love her. And she's passed out, but her mouth opened up and said, you're too late. I already control her. Something to that effect.
Really?
Yeah. Now, that would scare most people. But I look at it this way. Our essence of who we are can never be controlled, or I don't believe there's a hell. I don't believe that something can control your soul. Your soul is an energy. It's a spirit. It's a energy just moves on. You can't harness it and control it. We think we can, but ultimately it moves on. And those, they can interact with your body, and they can scare the hell out of you that way if you open the door and allow them to do that. If you put yourself in that state where something else can step in. Have you ever felt that way? Like something else was trying to manipulate or control you? Were you ever in a state of maybe, you know?
Well, no, that you know, I mentioned that I have had experiences, but for some reason they're far different than my sister.
Positive ones?
Well, no, like part of the questionnaire, I guess you'd call it. I don't really have a questionnaire when I talk to people, but I ask the same questions when I'm interviewing them or talking on the phone with them. And I ask them about this strange, unusual feeling of heaviness. It happened to me a lot when I was a kid, almost to where it's all along the lines of like you're in a bad dream and you can't move, like paralysis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that happened to me quite a bit where I just felt like something was holding me down on the bed.
And you were awake at the time? Sure you were awake?
I was awake because I remember looking down and seeing my baseball card collection scattered across
the
floor.
But you might have had a little bit of doubt that you could have been asleep?
No, because on those nights, many times, my brother would end up in my room. He got scared by something, too.
Okay.
And he don't remember it. But,
so you were definitely awake. You know you were awake at that time. Because there's other, you know, there's more than one explanation. You know, certainly you could have had something messing with you, but I know I used to have these experiences when I was 4 years old, and I always felt like I was being held down, but the whole room was shaking. It was vibrating. And even when I talked, it came out vibrated. And I was awake, and this happened at least a dozen times. And later, I read in a book about by Robert Monroe about having an out-of-body experience, and that was one of the signs. Sometimes you feel pinned down.
You mean the vibrations?
The vibrations were a sign. Being pinned down was a sign. It's like you're just returning from an out-of-body or you're just getting ready to leave. And it can appear like you're so awake because you can see everything in the room.
Oh, okay.
People have told me, but when they view it, if they can see themselves, their eyes are closed. It's like they're seeing right through their eyes clearly. It's like your spirit's seeing out. So that's an out-of-body. And to me, an out-of-body is a very natural thing. It's something we're all going to do when we pass. We're going to leave our body. And also, we do it at night. I think it will. We travel and we go and we go on adventures, I think.
Yeah, almost. I mean, it's almost dreamlike. Yeah.
But this was not that at all. This was something different, you're saying.
Yeah, that's just it. And then my mother would come upstairs, and many times when I would share something like that with her, she would bring a cross upstairs and hang it on my wall.
And that helped?
Well, that's the confusing part of, for me, you know, as I research this, is on the one hand, it's viewed as good, and then on the next hand, something's bothering my mother enough to, by what's happening to me, that she puts a cross on the wall. So that's where this all started, really, for me, was digging into all this. Is
now, your mom, you said, did a lot of work with a Ouija board and stuff like that. So she was opening the doorway.
Oh, big time.
And that's why you guys were experiencing a lot of these things. And I've been in places where there's been portals that have been opened up one reason or another, a lot of time from negativity, but people messing around, or just what you focus on. If you watch a lot of negative things, if you watch a lot of frightening things or demonic type movies, I think most of us have done that at some point, or violent, that sinks in and it almost programs us, and then we start believing that, thinking that in our subconscious, and we draw those things in. So they always say, be careful what you surround yourself with. And if you are going to work with spirits, which I think people can, and there's nothing to be afraid of, you have to protect yourself. Did your mom do anything for protection?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. Like a lot of people, she was experimenting with it. And so you're going to get those passing through that are going to, you know, or maybe they're going to hang around for a while. And, you know, what is their purpose? Well, they want to be around the living again. And maybe they were living at one time. And I think there are those that are maybe, if you want to call it of a darker energy, they enjoy, they almost feed off of fear. They love to scare the crap out of you.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been finding a lot with talking to people is there's a lot of common denominators, and a lot of it is fear, and a lot of it is what they're going through in life.
That draws a lot of it in.
That brings that stuff in. And matter of fact, like I was mentioning when I walked in today about talking to this lady on the way here, and her 4-year-old granddaughter's having problems, you know. Mm. And is it the fear, this little girl's fears, that's bringing this on, or is she too young to even understand good and evil?
Generally, kids, and you probably know this, we've talked about this, kids are more open, so they see these things more than adults do. So my experience has been that children, because we came from this place and we have a better understanding, wherever it is you believe we come from. And so we tend to lose that over time because people say, well, that's not true, that's not true. So then we dismiss it away, being able to see spirits, where children at a young age are still innocent and open, you know. And so this is how it's been explained to me, and it just makes a lot of sense that we see things, children will see them more than adults. And are they seeing something bad? You know, a lot of anything could be in any house, anywhere, anytime, right? And I don't think the majority of things are bad out there. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I think, I believe that what I'm coming across, I have, like I said, all, you know, over 350 stories, and I have very few that I could actually honestly say with 100% that it might have been a good angel. I see a lot of things going on that to me is evil and deceptive. You know?
Deceptive could be. You know, but there's different levels of that, you know, that are going on.
Oh, I agree with that too. Oh.
There's some ones that are probably really, could certainly be poltergeist type activity. You know, a lot of it too is, some of it is being created by the individual, I think, with our own psychic energy. That especially if you have tweens or teenagers in your house, a lot of it can come from them. We all have the ability to almost create these things. And then there is also an actual spirit that could be existing there. And when you said that, you told me that a lot of these people were going through difficult things that you talked to. Those were the ones that were
experiencing. A large percentage of them. Yeah.
They were experiencing maybe some more negative things happening, right?
Yeah, and it seemed like we had mentioned, when I talked to you on the phone there about some of the common denominators, and broken homes is a big one.
Yeah.
It seems like when that home has been broken apart and those kids go through the being traumatized by divorce, or their, you know, their dad moved out until they work things out, and that really works on kids. I mean, I think it really opens them up to lots of problems, you know.
I would also say, just from my own experiences and understanding of things over the, because I've been studying this for a long time and talked to so many different people, and there's a lot of different opinions out there, but we also are in a time where these things are more active. They're being reported more because, one, people are more psychic, I think. Where people are being born into, the psychic connection is just enhancing, and there's many different, there's explanations for that. I'm not going to get into that right now, but I think we're more psychic. And also I think these activities are going on more because there's a shift going on the planet. You can see the changes going on the planet, whether you want to think it's global warming. Something's happening in our Earth, and I don't think it's a bad thing, but it's part of a shift, part of a change, and this change is causing a little bit of upheaval, and this upheaval is causing these spirits to be restless, so to speak, and people are seeing that. We, I think, are going through a massive change as far as beings. We are this place, whole Earth eventually, I think, is going to become a much better place. But if you're somebody that doesn't want that, and you're in spirit, you're going to do everything you can to stop that. You're going to create a little, you're going to throw a little temper tantrum. And so this is what my explanation of what a lot of people are experiencing. And you have to be careful. I've been told this so many times. Be careful what you think. Be careful what you focus on, because it's going to become more real. These things are going to be happening. And you're witnessing this. You talked to how many different, you said the majority of houses in some locations you feel are haunted?
Yes, just because of from the area that I'm in Kearney. There's two towns specifically that it's off the charts.
It's off the charts.
And I think if I went door to door, which I'll never do, but if I went door to door in these towns, I believe I could probably get stories from just about all those houses. Somebody has ran into something in these houses because, I'll take, for example, the small town of Nato, Michigan. I'll throw them under the bus. You know, there's about 50 houses in this town. It's a small town. And at last count, I believe it was 24 of them have stories. And there's just some of these people that won't talk. You know, I've tried to message them or call them, and they don't want to talk about it. So that tips me off that if I touched on something they don't really want to talk about, chances are that something's gone on.
Did you include them in the ones of the 24?
No, 24 okay. are legit stories. Okay. And there's actually a few of these houses in Nato that each family that moves in there have had problems.
Hmm.
And, you know, from coming downstairs in the morning, all the silverware is on the floor.
Hmm.
You know, more of a jokester kind of thing happening.
Right.
Where and in this same house, the family currently living there, the girl sees dark faces in her bedroom. And her boyfriend was even there one night and saw something in the window. So it seems like with each family, the types of occurrences are different. But that house, everybody that's lived there has had problems.
I think a lot of times, my experience, because I've gone on more than a few investigations, and I know so many people that deal with this, but more often than not, we interpret somebody messing around with us, a playful spirit, or somebody that maybe was a little bit of a sarcastic person in life, as something dark and evil, when that's not always the case. It really isn't. And something darker will definitely let you know, right? How many of those would you say of the group that you've confirmed, over 300, how many of those, percentage-wise, if you had to take a guess?
How many of them are dark?
Really something that's more than that, yeah.
If you were to go on the extreme end of it, I bet you I've got 10 stories that you could make movies over.
So you're saying out of the 350, 10 of those could be some really...
I'm talking on the far end, where people right. get thrown,
right.
Broken bones,
right.
Scratches.
Well, that's definitely poltergeist, darker energy activity.
Yeah.
And that's still quite a bit. But the other ones, is it possible the other ones within that group could have misinterpreted?
Oh, I believe so, yeah.
That maybe it's not something that bad.
As a matter of fact, I don't know if we have time, but I've got an interesting story about a dream.
Sure.
That at first I thought to myself, this isn't good. But then the more I thought about it, and then the more I learned and the more I experienced, I thought this very well could have been something good. But anyway, to make a long story short, a gentleman I know was working with a young woman who was having problems. She was seeing lots of things that night. And he talked to her. He actually went and met her, and they talked in person, and he said she has some really crazy stories. So he went back home. He didn't tell anybody in his family where he had gone or who he had talked to. And that night, his own daughter had a dream about a Native girl. He did talk to a Native girl, but she had a dream about a Native girl, and it woke her up. And then she sat up in bed, and she heard rapping on the wall in her bedroom. And she got scared, and she came downstairs and jumped in bed with her other sister. And as soon as she got in the bed, the whole bed started vibrating and shaking. And then it woke her sister up, and her sister sat up and said, "Why are you shaking the bed?" And then she looked over and saw a small child spirit in the doorway of the bedroom. And then they went to sleep, and then the girl that saw the child spirit in the door frame had a dream that her father got up and came in the bedroom to talk to her. And she literally believed he was in there, even though she wasn't sure if it was a dream state or real. But she really felt he came in there. So she brought that up with her parents in the morning, and then the mom said she had a dream that night too, that the father grabbed his Bible off the headboard and went into this bedroom. So you have four human beings all interacting within one dream, one night, one instant.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what is going on with this family? But when you really think about it, the ending of this dream, or her seeing this person come in, was her father in a protective way.
Right.
And it very well could have been a comforting thing.
Well, and you know, the thing is, we talked about out of body. She certainly could have saw her father out of body. I mean, we also can interlink with each other in our dreams. We can also, we're psychically connected. We're beings of thought, I believe, and this is what we are in our core. We're energy and we're thought. So how can we not be connected through that? And, you know, I'm sure you've had dreams about people and then you saw them, somebody you haven't seen in a long time, or even things happening a certain way in your dream, and then it kind of happened like that. And that's where a lot of times deja vu comes from, I think, is from those experiences. And somebody once told me, and this makes a lot of sense to me, is that we, a lot of times when we leave our body at night, have an out-of-body experience, we're going to practice. We're going to practice with another person for the next part of our life that we're going to step into. So we're always creating. We're beings of creation, and we came from a creator. Therefore, we're beings of creation, and we're always getting together with others and say, what are we going to do now? What's next on the agenda? Now, was this being that was messing with the family something dark? They feel it was?
Well, my first impression was that there was something dark going on with that. But like I said, at the ending of it, the mother dreamt that the father grabbed the Bible off the headboard and went into the bedroom, or the daughter's bedroom. So the girl in the bedroom, was that meant for her to comfort
her? Did they
ever
have any more problems after that?
Oh, this family sees stuff all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
they've even had the dark shadow. Some people call it
the shadow people.
Well, they call it shadow people, but the one with the hat and a cape.
I don't know that one.
I forget what the name of the. There's a lady in Chicago that actually has a website about this guy.
Hmm. And people see that.
But they've seen that in the house too.
Wow. They must have a portal going on over there too.
Yeah. So that's why I questioned at first if it was there was evil involved with that whole dream, that whole night. But, you know, it could have very well been something good. You know, I do have to watch myself. I'll admit that, because I actually read something today along the same lines. As it's easy for me to jump on the fact that it might be deceptive or evil. I know that's not always the case. I know there's good spirits, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Good angels.
And you know, people have this perception that, well, darkness is so much more powerful than light. And I'll tell you, there's no way. I've seen it that, you know, you bring light, darkness doesn't want to be around that. And to me, darkness is just the absence of light. It's a being. We're all beings of love in our core, and we're on this journey, and some have just kept going down the road, and they're a little far away from this journey, and they have the chance to return if they want, and I think they will eventually someday turn things around. So it's a fascinating topic, spirits. What is the name of your book going to be? Are you sure? You don't know?
Yeah, Grandma, why are you in my closet?
With an axe. Meow, 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 meow.
Yeah, because that's really been part of the push for my book. You know, like I said, it started out as an interest in what my mom did, those she associated with. But then as I was finding and coming across more stories and these little kids that have these these stories, whether it's a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, maybe even a 10-year-old kid, telling their parents that grandma sat on my bed last night, and or another lady telling me that her best friend had died like a few months earlier, and she witnessed her baby, something messing with her baby in her playpen, pushing in on the netting of the playpen. She couldn't see nobody. But then when she got over there, she smelled Aquanet. And she said that that must be my friend.
Hmm.
You know, so
yeah,
that's been my push as these kids now. Which scares me is the fact that I have so many negative stories about some things happening to kids. So I'm digging into this because I want to know.
You want to be able to help these people too.
Definitely. I mean, I have one story of a little girl that tells her mom that her secret friend throws her on the floor. I think I even shared that with you before, but I mean, that shouldn't happen.
So what can we do? What can we do? Are we helpless?
No, I don't believe we're helpless.
And, you know, I wouldn't have known this until I got to know some people, but we don't, as we live in this world around us, my belief, from what I understand now, God allows us to be. How else do we learn? That's why we ask for God. He's not going, I'm right here, all the time. He's like, he lets you be so you can free will, learn, go through life, experience. If he was always guiding you, and then you could not gain for yourself. And the angels, especially with working with Debbie, I understand now, the archangels and your angels, yeah, they're there to help you if you get in a bad scrape, save your life if it's before your time. But they won't come to you unless you ask, because again, this is done with the greatest respect, where they allow you to basically get into your own trouble. And that's when you go, help. And so you don't have to wait to that point. And neither are we are not these weak beings. We are divine love, light. And if we start to remember that and start to draw that in and project it, I believe you can protect yourself from anything. If you truly had enough light, whatever else is bothering you does not want to be around that. Darkness does not want to be where light is. So one thing people can do, and Debbie has talked about this, and she taught me this, is call on the angels, your angels, to stand in the four corners of your house. And that makes a difference. I've done that before. And then I also call on the Archangel Michael, because Michael is, he's the warrior. He's kind of like, I'm here to protect you. I'll take care of you. I've had spirit activity in my house, I don't know how many times. And I'm not worried about it. I never worry about it being dark, because when you start thinking about that, then you start creating that. So I just know nothing's really going to mess with me. I have great faith in that. And if it tries to, I call on Michael, and it gets very quiet. I'll hear at least banging and stuff like that, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, somebody's here. They're messing around with me. I notice this sometimes in the basement, sometimes in different parts of the house. And it seems like every time I call on Michael, and I guess, you know, maybe you got to believe that too. These people that you deal with, would you say they lack faith in something?
Yeah, especially now, like what I was mentioning, this young girl that has problems. I believe part of it is brought on even by the parents' actions.
Oh, absolutely.
And this mother is skeptical and she doesn't really want to do anything about it. So I feel that this young girl is really caught between a rock and a hard place. The mother was willing to share stories with me, but that's as far as she wants to take it.
She didn't want to do anything about it. People are afraid. Sometimes people are afraid to step out of it. We worked with this one family, really good people, and I've known these people for a long time, but for 15 years they were dealing with something. They were afraid because you watch so many movies, and movies are not real, but they were afraid they would rile up these spirits if they, and I guess that could happen, but ultimately you are the one that has domain over your own area. And if you truly believe that, you can chase these things away. I think you can always do that. It might be a little harder sometimes, but it's really, what do you believe? You know, this is why you will see some people call on a priest and it works great because they believe that. And then that priest, other times the priest doesn't work. Maybe they call in a shaman, and that works. It's what we believe. It's we create whatever it is we believe and allow it to come forward. I don't know how you feel about that. Is that a possibility, Dan?
Yeah, I believe my personal deep down opinions on all this is can be best explained by what's even happening in my own home. Like say for example, my fiance, she was having lots of problems seeing things. Well, not necessarily seeing things, but she would feel things, or she would sense that something is in her room. Now this was before we moved in together, but anyway. And I was starting to tell her what my thoughts are on what these spirits might be, because she actually was in an apartment complex that I call Spook Central. Matter of fact, I talked to somebody today, another tenant from that apartment, and they had problems too. But anyway, she moved in with me, and the experience has pretty much dried up. And I was telling her how I feel these spirits are and what they could be, why they go after certain people, and she was starting to agree with my way of thinking on this.
Was it like Incubus? Is that what you're talking about? Or
No. She actually would get her toes tugged on. One time she felt something kiss her in the middle of the night on the face when nothing was in there. I mean, maybe you could call it that, Incubus. But she never had the extreme end of that, which I've come across.
Right, exactly.
So that's why I hesitate to call it anything.
It could be somebody that thinks she's cute, wants to be around her. I mean, it's like picture yourself in spirit form with all the traits you have. All of us. There's good and bad amongst us. And there's moments that all of us have done good things and bad things. So that's what I think the majority of it is people that haven't moved on, and whether they're good in life or bad in life, if you want to label it that, that's what they're doing. And then there are those that maybe have never been in a physical body that are trying to intimidate us. But again, I don't believe we're put on this earth to be held hostage by anything. And we have divine power if we just remember to call on it and know how to use it. Yeah. Nothing has the power over us.
Yeah, but it seemed like with with my fiance and actually her her daughter, that both of their experiences not kind of dried up, but they still have run-ins a little bit. But the activity pretty much has dried up, and they're more confident now that they're not going to have any problems with it.
Yeah,
and
maybe
I feel,
having that male presence around.
I think I could go into that too for a long time. The absence of a male figure in a house seems like it brings on activity. But that is part of it. But I just think understanding things better, to know, to try to figure out what's evil, what's good. Don't necessarily always call it evil. Don't necessarily always call it good. Make sure you know what you're dealing with and check into it. And that seems like that helps out people.
It does, and I think, again, we are not helpless, and we can call the angels. We can draw white light down to protect us. Whenever you enter into these houses, maybe it's up to you, Dan, but I would visualize and ask for the white light to come and surround me and protect me like a bubble. And I'd ask for Michael to be, you believe in archangel, angels like that, right?
Yep.
What does it hurt, right? Ask him to be on my shoulder or just be near me. And those are the things that I do when I step into a place, and I've never had an issue with that. I mean, I've had plenty of spirit activity in my life as well. And I can't say, well, there's probably been a couple of times it might have been something a little bit messing with me that was a little bit dark. But I guess I didn't give it a whole lot of thought. We had something in the house years ago. This is in the late 90s. And this could have been an incubus. My girlfriend at the time, who became my wife, in 1998 we moved into a house on North 21st Street in Escanaba, and she had told me before that she would have these very sexual dreams of somebody like trying to rape her, and it frustrated her and scared her. And at the time, I didn't know I didn't know as much as I know now. And when we moved in together, those dreams suddenly stopped. But also, one time I was walking by the bedroom, and I looked in the bedroom, and I saw an actual outline of an apparition bent over, completely bent over, like looking at her, with just a couple of feet away from her face. And I, for a moment, I thought, no, that can't be. And then Then a car went by, and the lights through the window kind of it disappeared. And I thought, well, maybe it's just that. You know, maybe it's just that.
Yeah.
And then I would hear things in the, like if I was taking a shower, and I always got up early, and she was sleeping, I would hear something banging around in the kitchen, on the cupboards, loud. And I'm thinking, what is she doing in there? And I go out there, and nothing's there. And then I'm thinking, how did she not hear that? But I never was afraid of these things. And then one time I was walking out of the house, and I heard a coffee cup pick up and slam down. And, you know, then we knew something was there, but we never gave it any credence. And I think that's part of it. If you give into that, and I know that's got to be hard if you're experiencing it all the time. But it's the more you feed into it, the more you're just going to make it stronger. Would you agree with that?
I believe in the fear part of all that. You know, the when somebody's like for example, a young lady I know with a lot of kids at only 20 years old, it's constant for her.
Yeah, it's hard too, because
she has, you know, no money, a deadbeat dad, and she's constantly moving, trying to moves in with friends because she can't afford her own place. So she has constant turmoil in her life, and she sees things constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a huge reason why people have issues seeing things. You know, I mean, there just might be some people. It may be the house. That's a whole other subject, a haunted house, how I feel about that. But I think it contributes to it. But I think it has more to do with the person.
Yeah, I
a
think
lot
so.
More to do with
I think
the person.
So. And there's residual things, too, that go on in a house that could be just playing out emotions. And people could be experiencing that as well. So if certain things happen at 3 o'clock every night, you know, in the morning, 3 in the morning every then you know that's probably residual. Whereas things are happening that seem to be an interaction with you, then it's probably a spirit. Spirits are everywhere, you know? It's something that we have to accept. The biggest thing I think that scares us, if you're secure in what you believe, whether you believe in God in a religious way or a spiritual, whatever, and you know you're okay, then in the end, it doesn't really matter. You don't worry about that. And if you believe you can be protected, if you believe that God put us here, and, hey, good luck with that down there. Hope it works out. There's a lot of demons down there. I hope that works for you. But wait a second. I don't think he left us here that way. And if we just need the knowledge of knowing how to deal with these things, and there are people out there that I know plenty of them, and I put you in touch with some of them, so maybe they can assist these people. Most of these, they want to assist people, you know, because like you, once you find out about it, you think, God, people should not live like this, should they?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, if it was my grandson or my boys having problems, I would be interacting with them quickly.
Right. Well, and then just searching for answers to find what you can do. Because getting angry at spirits doesn't usually work. Get the heck out of my house. They're going to feed off your anger. Being afraid, they're going to feed off of that.
Yeah.
But if you walk in with confidence and light and project it, then they're going to go. They will go somewhere else. And there's other things people do. Have you been in houses where they've smudged at all?
No, I've never been a part of any that end of it, no. That's why I was actually talking to you. A few weeks ago.
You know what? I will, when we get done with this, I'll tell you this Knock Bay Trading. If you want to stop by there and pick up some stuff, they have, you can pick up, it's white. It's got to be white that you need to do the smudging. I think people can do their own smudging if you feel more comfortable having somebody else come in. But really, it's just lighting the sage and going around throughout the whole room, the building, and asking whatever's there to leave. And also, you have to take accountability. You have to take charge and say, this is my house. I'm the one running things. You need to leave now. And then a lot of times also we've used like sea salt and sprinkled that around, especially in the doorway area. That's supposed to close things up if there's a portal or something like that. And I'm sure there's many other things that people do. Some people might do holy water or whatever. Again, I think holy water only works if you believe that it has power and the spirit, you know. It's your belief, I think, that's going to actually control the spirit. Maybe not even so much the spirit's belief. If you believe something strong enough, well, the priest came in and cleaned things, blah, blah, blah. You know, you have to be convinced all the way through. People will say, well, I felt really good when somebody came in and did this cleansing, but then about a week later it started up again. Because you didn't convince yourself completely. You know, we have many layers to ourself that we don't realize, our subconscious. And so it's all about belief. It really is. You know, and you can't, maybe some people have, there's a reason that they're having these experiences too. That it could be part of what they're here to learn from. I never used to think that, but I think sometimes spirits will interact with us. And who am I to say that maybe it wasn't part of the grand design, as crazy as that might sound.
Yeah, there's so many aspects to this. I guess I never realized that till I got so deep into it. But all I wanted to know was what was going on with my mom and a few relatives. That's how it started.
And now it's become this. And really, you know, I would say that you were meant to do this. I mean, with your mom was the early training. This was your later mission in life to, I don't know if you feel that way, but we're exposed to things early on, and then we go through our young adult years and a good part of our life, and we ignore them, and then it comes back later. And it's an opportunity to help others, to learn, to do good, you know. I think we're always striving, to return to that. So helping others is one of the greatest things we can do.
I agree.
So what else do you want to tell me, Dan? Is there anything else that you want to share with me?
Break.
You need to take a break?
Yeah, I got to get a drink.
A liquor drink, you're saying?
No.
We're just about done. We've done this about an hour, so that's about usually how long I go.
Okay.
So do you want to wrap this up in any way? Or?
No, I just didn't want to cough in your microphone.
Go ahead and cough.
No. I'm blown away at how many people have run into things.
If somebody wants to contact you and has a story, is there a way they can do that?
Oh, definitely. You can go on Facebook and just look up Dan Langenfeld, Langenfeld. I have several different emails. The easiest one to remember is swordofthespirit66@yahoo.com. And you could tell me your stories. I'm always interested in a new story. But I said, I am actually interested in starting to get more hands-on with this. That's why I had contacted you, TJ, because I figured you knew a lot of people about this. So. But, you know, if you're interested in reading about ghost stories, you can go to the library and find these books, a dime a dozen. There's lots of them out there. And what I'm attempting to do in my book is, if I can get the person I'm talking to or interviewing to open up with me, you know, maybe on a little deeper level, I want to dig into so much more of the spiritual side of this, as far as, like we had just talked about the young 20-year-old girl. If she wasn't struggling with all these things in her heart, in her mind, you know, what's going on in her life, would a lot of this activity cease? Would it stop? So in my book, I do dig into a lot of that. What are the common denominators between?
That's what I think is fascinating.
The families that see things, yeah, and the families that don't see.
How you
see
piece
things.
That together, yeah.
Yeah, and that's something I didn't even bring up in our little talk here, was that is one of the big surprises of my research was how families with more girls than boys in it, the activity level goes through the roof.
Oh, yeah. Well, girls are more sensitive. That makes sense.
So it's easy for me to find stories.
But you also said families where they're broken, like a split. If it's a mother with two girls or something like that, right?
Oh, if it's a mother on her own with two girls, I'd bet a $100 bill they see things.
Yeah, really?
Definitely.
Just about everybody you talk to that had that?
If I have the common denominators are there, and actually there's four of them, but I hesitate on the fourth one because it actually involves sexual abuse. I don't ever really ask anybody I'm talking
right.
about that, but some of them share it with me.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a broken home, if it's not the biological mother and father in the home, or if they adopted, if something new is introduced to the family or it's broken apart, you know, that's a broken home. If you have more girls than boys in it, a broken home, and if you're mother, your grandmother dabbled with a Ouija board.
Like
if those three are present, I have almost 100%. It's 100% activity level. I have one family that said they never had any problems, but I'll be honest, I don't think they were being truthful with me. So if they would have said that they had activity, it would have been 100% if those three are present. So.
Well, and it certainly supports what I believe too, but it's interesting that you focused, that you picked that out like that, because our emotions affect everything around us. You know, and I'm a believer in the law of attraction too. Not only does it bring spirits into your life, which could happen by the way you think and what you're holding on to, it also affects what comes to you in life. You may not get a job. You may live in a bad situation. The way we feel about things and how we view ourselves, the term is called the law of attraction. So if you feel really good and you believe you deserve more, good things can happen. Good things will just line up for you. Now, a person also has a life path. Maybe, see, this is where it's hard to determine. A person might have said, this is where I come from with my belief, okay, in this lifetime, Dan, I'm going to have some really bad things happen to me because I really want to learn a lot. I really want to learn a lot. And so we don't quite see that. We don't understand that. And so we might from the outside, God, they just got hit by a car. Now they got hit by a bus. Now a train ran over them. It's like, this is horrible. And it's like, nope, signed up for it. We don't quite understand that. And then so we have the outward plan, and then we also have the ability to draw things to us with our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, what we hang on to. So if you're a negative person, chances are you're going to draw those things in. And people will say, well, I'm not negative. Really? How do you react to things? Yeah. It tells a lot of what kind of person you are.
Well, that part of it, I totally agree with, you know, the negativity in somebody's life. But what I found interesting, which is seldom talked about, is I'm going to take my family, for example. There's seven of us. My parents are both passed on now, but our family was seven people. We all had depression. We all got a divorce. I had an aunt that had an alcoholic father, an alcoholic husband. She had nowhere to live. She moved in with us. All three of them had depression, and one of them killed him. My cousin killed himself. Mm. So then we move on to my aunt's family, five kids, two adults, all seven have depression. We move on to the next aunt, seven kids, all nine of them have depression.
And when you say depression, what do you mean by depression?
That means that they are either on medication because of their depression.
Really?
And, you know, that's the part of this that never rarely gets looked into. I mean, we all agree that spirits are around us, but is there that kind of a negative influence that if they are?
So you're saying that all these people are on medication. I didn't realize that.
Oh, no. I don't know that 100% of them are on medication.
But a lot of them are.
Oh, they all struggle. They've all admitted they struggle with it. It varies in degrees. Some
are
on medication.
Remember when I said when if you drink alcohol and if you take drugs or medication, what they call medication in our society, it lowers your vibration and opens the door for these things.
Well, that's what I was getting at was, now my mother would bring out the Ouija board to all these families I've talked about, and there would be spirits around. So I'm trying to dig into that part of it so deep. I want to understand this as best I can. And I want to know if there's been that kind of a negative influence, whether it's an evil spirit affecting a certain family.
With Ouija boards?
Yeah, bringing in the wrong spirits.
Well, that can happen. But I know people that have played with them and never had a problem.
Oh, I know. That's the funny thing with a Ouija board. You can talk to this person who says, oh, we did it all the time as kids, and they don't have problems.
It's because their perception of it was that way. But if you go into that with a perception of, well, what if? What if somebody in that group, in the back of their mind, we might bring in some, and therefore you open that doorway. But if you go into it with a perception of, hey, this is just fun, I don't even know if I believe this, I think you'd be safer to avoid. But again, truly, if you're going to work with that, because all it is a device that allows you to communicate with spirit, and there's many ways to do that. If you, the white light, protect yourself, archangel, then I think you can do those. People have written books. Did you ever hear of a book called Messages from Michael?
No.
It was a series of books that were written back in the 70s and 80s, I think. And the whole series of books were channeled, automatic writing. Through a lot of it was through Ouija board, though. At first, they started out with a Ouija board. Now, I didn't even know if they knew how to protect themselves. But this entity by the name of Michael communicated with them, and they wound up writing two or three books out of it. And he wasn't dark by any means. He was very enlightened, actually. And he told them a lot of things about why their life was the way it is and different things and why things happen. And they were able to communicate and actually write books about it. So, again, I think this is a tool that can be used, but if you don't respect it, it's like having a chainsaw. Well, I don't really respect this chainsaw. What's going to happen then?
Yeah. Well, like I said, all them common denominators that we're coming up with, people who see things, that's the aspect of this that I tried to dig into more than, you know, just getting the story and publishing it.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. You've done some good research.
I would love to just come to some really rock-solid conclusions, even though it's so hard on the spiritual side.
Yeah, spirit world, it's not as easy.
You know, it's not like we can knock on a door and, hey, can I interview you and give me some answers, you know. But so I've really enjoyed that part of this journey, was talking to people and touching base with them on what I feel is happening outside of just seeing something.
Right.
I really hope that I can tie this all together. It might take another 5 years before I'm done with the book.
And maybe you can help some people out on the way, too.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great, yeah.
You write that book. And that's really what our kind of like our deeper path is, I believe. I mean, it could be anything. People can do whatever they want, I think, when we come here. But a lot of us may have a journey where we want to do at some point in our life something that's going to help other people or help people wake up, is the way I look at it. That's why I do these shows, to help people. If they choose, they can see some things maybe that, you know, not everything I do, maybe people agree with, that's fine, or maybe there's something better out there that I haven't discovered yet. But it gives, and as I'm waking up, it's giving them a chance maybe to see some things as well. And when you hear it over and over and over from enough different people, it's like, okay, well, that's got to be true. I've got to believe some of this stuff is true. And when the spirit world is always this mystical thing, and I'm afraid of it, and the more you get into it and delve into it, eventually it's like talking to a human being, and it's like, yeah, it's just like life. Hmm. It's part of life. It's not it's not this creation. It all has to be all a part of creation, doesn't it? All of this has to exist for a reason.
Exactly, yeah.
And so it's not an unnatural thing. And if the veil is lifting, like I said, we are entering a time where the earth is shifting its energy. We are shifting our energy. We are going to see things more clearly. Therefore, we're seeing these spirits and having interaction with them. And we're eventually going to understand. I think there'll be a day when we truly understand what all of this is, what it means.
I hope so.
Well, good luck with that, Dan. And I hope that you come back again when the book is done and we can maybe sell some copies or something.
Yeah, if I ever finish it.
Well, it's always good to see you, Dan.
Yeah, same here.
Thank you very much for coming in.